Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by FranVest International, Inc.
Every single day.
Your host, Claire Katz, here with my good friend and cohort, Marcus.
Hello.
There is nothing more important, more vital, more absolutely necessary right now in the food world than this. This chocolate chip cookie that I'm eating right now. I'm kidding. It's genetically modified food. It's a big deal right now. Let's talk about it. Marcus, do you know what a genetically modified food is?
Yeah, it's a food genetically modified. So let's say tomatoes. They splice their DNA to, let's say, fold in some fish DNA, so the tomato will not burst when it's frozen. It'll stay whole and can handle colder temperatures. That actually is, there is tomatoes out there with fish DNA in them now.
Are there genetically modified tomatoes that are sold as organic tomatoes?
No.
Are you 100% positive?
No, because it's tough to get that information out.
It's tough to get that information out. And people have been bettering vegetables for generations.
Yes.
Because scientists like to do that kind of stuff. That's their hobby. So fish DNA.
Yes.
That means a vegan cannot eat a tomato
technically,
because...
technically, it's still a plant.
Technically, it still has fish DNA.
It has DNA of a fish, but it is born and raised a plant.
Okay. The thing that makes an animal is its DNA.
Or it's able to choose and run around and live free. Not free, but... Well, free, yes, but... choose this or that and, you know, have a consciousness.
You're concerned about the tomatoes running around free?
Not really. No. That movie was kind of scary when I was little, but it's fine now.
Killer tomatoes?
Uh-huh.
It's an actual thing. We put enough fish DNA in there, they're going to start swimming. They're going to start swimming. They're going to start forming little pools of fish DNA tomatoes. You know, little schools of shrimp. Mm-hmm. Schools of fish DNA tomatoes are going to be hoarding together. They're going to be accumulating in groups because I'm sure that if tomatoes had their way, they would accumulate in little family groups and they'd have little clubs and, you know, little cliques, and your popular tomatoes would be the big bright red tomatoes, and then the nerd tomatoes would be the little kind of squeaky little small little cherry sized tomatoes, and the grape tomatoes, they're smaller, so they'd be the tomato nerds. And then they would have their own little separate clique. And then the big jock tomatoes would be the ones that what develop a taste for human flesh. And then there will be movies about, you know, well, they already had killer tomatoes. That would become a reality, folks. Genetically modified organisms and genetically modified foods are the same thing.
Yes.
Exactly the same thing.
Well, yeah, they don't genetically modify too many things that aren't foods because there's not that much of a need for it.
No, sure, there are people genetically modify anything that has genes.
Well, yeah, they can, but they don't do it commercially as
I'm pretty
much.
Sure I'm using genetically modified shampoo.
Huh?
Yeah. But the there's a battle. There's a big battle. People, well, you know, governments, they have, you know, the Food and Drug Administration, FDA. I'm not a huge fan of the FDA because they've been responsible for some major hiccups that have allowed some really horrifying things to get into food that have caused some problem, cured, you know, given people cancer and ultimately killed people. But they have a responsibility, much like doctors. Doctors have a responsibility. They try to uphold that responsibility and not hurt people and not give people bad treatment that will ultimately kill them. But you know what? FDA is full of people, humans. Doctors are humans. These people are humans. It's called human error. You know, there's always an error, and it usually lies in the fact that when people are testing these things, it's a limited test.
Oh, yeah.
Now, with GMOs, GMFs, I'm going to call them GMFs. Marcus here is going to call them GMOs.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to get in a fight about it because, you know what? An organism is not necessarily a food. You can have a genetically modified organism that is not a food. I'm talking about genetically modified food, the actual food, the stuff that they're making that is a food, that they sell as a food, that people eat as a food.
When I talk about GMOs, I pretty much think of foods also.
Well, you're saying it because it sounds better.
Yes, it rolls off the tongue better, exactly.
Yeah.
And whenever I talk to other people about it, everybody says GMOs. I just got used to calling it that without thinking about it.
Well, whenever you do research on the internet, they're interchangeable. I'm going to call them GMFs.
GMOs.
I think GMF sounds more like a band.
GMF.
Well, that was EMF, actually. But GMF sounds very, very similar. You know, they're the ones who did It's Unbelievable.
It's Unbelievable. Oh, that one.
Yeah, and it's got the clip from Andrew Dice Clay in it. Awesome song, right? And awesome most song. It's not just because I think Andrew Dice Clay is cool. you know, and no one cool thinks Andrew Dice Clay is cool, by the way. But great song, EMF, GMF, good way to remember it. Say it my way, don't say it Marcus's way.
GMO.
GMF. There's the whole thing about the labeling. Now, your stance on GMFs is that you are okay with them to an extent, but you want them properly labeled.
There are some ones that really scare me, and some of them I totally understand and respect, and I just want to be able to pick which one I'm buying.
And do you understand them because they're using short words?
I understand them because I know what they're for.
What are they for?
Well, one that I'm not a fan of are the ones that produce the pesticides inside the food itself, so it can't be washed off or cleaned off. So when I'm eating it or I'm feeding it to my little kids, they're eating that pesticide. And that's kind of what happened to the bald eagle. We had the DDT to kill the mice. The birds ate the mice. The eagles ate the mice and then got that DDT, and their eggs broke before they could hatch. So again, there is that bioaccumulation. So I just want to avoid that in humans. We don't lay eggs. I know this. But that's what I'm scared of. Now, if you're making it bigger, even though it has less nutrients because it's bigger, I'm all for that. Why not make it big and beautiful? If it says that and that's what it's doing, that's fine. I understand the need for that and to make food cheap. We need that. We need some GMOs to make food for everybody. I just want to be able to choose which one I'm putting into my body. And for that, I need the information. And there's no other place to get it.
Now, okay, fine. They label them, right? Mm-hmm. They label them. The FDA decides how they have to put this information on the label, right? And it's not going to be a big label.
No.
It's going to be a label that says, this is a GMF.
Yes, it's going to say, this is a GMO.
Okay, so it's like any other label. It's like naturally farmed. It's like free range. It's like grass-fed, steroid-free. Hormones do the same thing in animals as steroids. So there's going to be loopholes. There are always going to be labeling loopholes. So if the information is not readily available, that label means absolutely nothing. So what is the point, almost? The labeling with the, you know, they have the guidelines and restrictions of what food companies can produce. There's going to be loopholes. There's always going to be labeling loopholes. Perfect example, the calorie count, the serving size, calorie counts. We were talking about this earlier. Yeah. There's calorie counts are off by as much as 100 calories per serving.
Yeah.
We're talking about the addition of an extra 30 pounds on your midsection per year. And you're going off of these labels. You're going off of the farm raised fish label, the naturally derived source label. These labels mean precisely bupkis.
Well, like you said, we don't know that all organic food is not GMO, but we do know that all non-organic, certified organic food, not all of that is also GMO. So some of the non-organics that are cheaper aren't genetically modified, and that would make it more appealing for people to get.
Do you know that, people, we're talking about generally the kind of people who consume the most organic food are vegetarians and vegans.
Yeah.
Generally speaking,
everyday
human beings that eat meat, you know, we're like, oh, okay, well, I don't have to be that picky about my vegetables because the cows that I am eating are not always steroid free. They're not always hormone free. They're not always grass fed. Mm-hmm. They're eating sometimes genetically modified corn, not their natural diet. If I'm okay eating that, I don't have to worry so much about the consumption of organic vegetables. Do you know that no matter what kind of soy you are eating, and vegetarians and vegans, of course, inherently eat more soy, 30% of that is consisted of genetically modified plants.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's huge.
The
A lot of the milks that say, you know, fresh, blah, 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 they're genetically modified.
You guys are eating a lot of soy. You're eating a lot of genetically modified soy because you're eating it to make up for the fact that you don't want to eat animals.
Well, we eat nuts in my house as opposed to soy. We're not big soy eaters.
But a lot of vegetarians and vegans do.
Yeah.
They're eating genetically modified soy. They're spending a lot of money on organic and pesticide-free tomatoes, and then they're eating genetically modified soy. And the soy that has been genetically modified contains weird altered genes, the exact type of thing that they spent so much time and money trying to avoid, you know, and getting all indignant about. They're consuming it freely. Why? Because it's in the vegetarian and vegan section of the grocery store. Now, coming up after this next quick commercial break, we're going to continue to talk about GMFs.
GMFs.
We're going to be talking about that when we come back from the next commercial break. And my co-host here is going to have to learn how to function with a fork in the eye because this is really, you know, the GMFs. We're talking about GMFs when we come up after the break.
No
next
problem.
On Food Fight Radio here on KCBQ.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinnight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
You want to make more money? Own your own business? Find the perfect business for you at the Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo, January 26th and 27th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Discover full and part-time opportunities and talk directly with the owners of money-making franchises who can help you open a successful business. See the hottest new franchises and get valuable advice at free seminars all weekend. For more info, visit sandiegofranchiseexpo.com. Don't miss San Diego's largest Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo, January 26th and 27th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Sell out and live in for more safe
death. Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio. And Marcus, how does that fork in the eye feel?
You know, I thought it'd feel a lot worse.
Oh, interesting.
Hey, I know we're talking about something controversial right now. If you guys want to weigh in, feel free to call us at 888-344-1170 at KCBQ Radio.
Thanks for that. Call us. Tell us how we are wrong.
Tell me how Claire is wrong.
Tell me how Marcus needs a fork in the other eye. We were talking last segment about GMFs.
GMOs.
And you so deserve a straw in the nostril. There's a European test that I read about, and it was done on rats. And these rats were, it's probably, you know, the most long-standing study, because as you know, every other study on what GMFs can do to you, okay, they tested on rats. The longest study has been 90 days. Now, this test was 2 years. And what they found is that after these rats were fed a diet of this one particular type of genetically modified corn, that after 2 years, most of them had tumors and died.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you're going to say that, okay, genetically modified corn, very bad stuff. What do you think of genetically modified corn?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. That's the one where I did research and found the pesticides inside the corn. That freaks me out. Now, if you grow genetically modified corn for oil or for, you know, biofuel, do it. It's not getting eaten by me or anybody I know or anything. That's fine. When you start feeding it to animals that are going to be food, that kind of creeps me out a little bit. But if you're growing corn and genetically modifying it to produce ethanol, please GMO the heck out of it. Go for it.
GMO the heck out of it.
The heck out of it.
Yeah. And you're getting rough there. Yeah, uh-huh. Marcus, give him a taste of the other white meat. The corn itself, big issue. And I think the reason that they tested the corn was because they feed this corn to cows.
Everything.
And then we eat the cows.
Mm-hmm.
They've been feeding this corn to test rats It's easy to grow. It's inexpensive to get. It's got a simple modification to it. And, you know, they expect that when they feed this thing to a rat, it's going to have kind of the same thing it's going to have, you know, on humans. So there's a whole, this is a scare factor that I'm talking about, is the fact that this test was done on rats. Fine. You got your labeling loopholes. That's not the problem. The problem is that these tests are not going to provide reliable results. And the reason I say that, and fine, you test it on rats, you see, oh, it's scary, it killed off most of the rats. You know what? Aside from the fact that the rats have a completely different metabolism than we do, and that's why they use them, they metabolize things faster. But because of that metabolic difference, there's an inherent difference with the animal itself and how any test result is going to be different than what you test on people. They also have a higher activity of a liver enzyme, 5-desaturase, which changes their chemical structure. It changes the chemical structure of the rat. And it happens randomly during the rat's life. It changes from the rat's environment. Lab tests done on rats are inherently, therefore, inaccurate and obsolete. Stop testing on rats. If something has good results for your test on rats, people are going to use it. If bad results come up from the lab rat testing, they're not going to use those results. And plus, it's completely inherently inaccurate and obsolete. Why are they testing on rats? Because they got to test on something. And rats grow quickly. They reproduce quickly. They're inexpensive to test on. And, you know, hey, if it gives the rat cancer, you're going to assume it gives you cancer. No, you're wrong. Rats get tumors a lot more often than people do naturally. They usually wind up getting mammary tumors. Even on their necks, they get mammary tumors. These rats are not spayed. There has been no manipulation to their reproductive system whatsoever. The males, the females, not at all. Humans routinely manipulate their reproductive system. A reproductive system has a lot to do with how your body will react to things that go into it. Cats and dogs that are not spayed will usually develop a mammary tumor. These rats are not spayed. They are not neutered. They are naturally more likely to develop tumors. If you put rats in a cage, you have a pet rat, for example. You know, and a lot of people do. They're virtually never spayed due to the expense and risk and fact that it is a rat. No one is going to spend money spaying a rat. This is a pet. You know, your rats, they can usually always be kept away from males. You don't have to worry about it having babies all over your house. So do people spay their rats? No. Do humans mess with their reproductive systems, take hormones? Yes, they do, all the time. And rats, by the way, lab rats are no different, by the way, in the way that they are housed. They are consistently exposed to cancer-causing chemicals. And I'm not talking about the kind you put in the corn and then feed them. Pine and cedar chips contain carcinogens. Many commercial pet foods contain preservatives proven to cause cancer. Now, if you give vitamin C to a rat in excessive doses, perfectly safe in humans in large doses, by the way, if you give vitamin C to a rat, it causes cancer. These tests are completely useless.
Well, how it works is, it's like, if you've ever seen vineyards, they always have roses around a grape vineyard, because the rose will catch a disease, handle it differently before the grapes ever will. So it's kind of like a red flag, hey, something might happen to your grapes. So with the rats, this happens. Some things do carry over to us. So it's just like a, hey, we need to research this more. And that's why they use rats. It's proof that they need more money to research it more to see if it will happen to us.
So, but people do pay attention to tests that are done on rats.
Well, yeah, if this says the numbers you want, just like you said.
Yeah,
if it gives you the results
sugar
you're looking for,
you're going to use it.
You're going to use it.
If you look and expect to see a code in newspaper print, you will find a code. You'll find a code that tells you the apocalypse is now.
It always tells me to wash dogs. I don't know.
Well, that's because you're dyslexic. It was actually talking about God. If you're looking for a code, you are going to find a code. People have been deciphering codes in random material. You know why? Because they were looking. They were looking for something and they found it. You obviously can't do sufficient usable tests on rats, but people generally do the tests on rats. They should stop. Testing it on mice, testing it on monkeys. No, you know what? Different things. You can't test on dogs and cats. Chocolate kills dogs. So, okay, clearly their bodies are a little bit different than ours. What's left? Test on people.
People.
You got to test on people. Now, if you're putting poison into something, don't eat it. Don't test it on people. You know what? People shouldn't be eating poison. Figure out how to make food with something other than poison.
There you go.
You know, that start if in high enough levels of something that's basically inert could also turn into a poison. Use your brain. Scientists are very smart. They go to school for many years. They get paid a lot to do these tests. These are not scientists that want to hurt you. The FDA does not want to hurt you. They don't want to kill off the people that are buying the food.
Yeah.
You know, these are people. These are customers. These are taxpayers. These are people who buy their garbage. So they obviously don't want to kill you off. But you do need to use your brain, people. I mean, people at the FDA, no different. They need to use their brain. Do they make mistakes? Yes, they do. Should there be a 50-year study conducted on GMFs before we decide to put them into the mainstream? No. That's silly. No one's going to wait 50 years for something that could possibly make healthy food cheaper, that grows 10 times faster, out of season, and can feed people that would otherwise die of hunger, you know? But corn, by the way, not a good thing to test with.
No.
No, it's harder to digest for lab animals.
For everything.
Then for everyone, yeah. Mm. You know what? You don't digest corn very well.
No, you know that. If you eat a ear of corn, you know you don't digest it very well.
Yeah, and we don't need to tell you why. We don't need to tell you how you know that. And we're not going to talk about it on that show. That's for our friends who are on the air
Got
on
it.
Saturday.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. We're just going to keep slapping Marcus until he understands what my rules of the radio are. Certain things we're not going to talk about, but he makes a valid point, so we're going to slap him a little bit less. Corn is harder to digest for just about everything than wheat or rice is. It's cheaper. That's why people use it for tests. You know what? Spend a few extra dollars and use genetically modified wheat. There's plenty of it. You know, rats have a hard time digesting corn. So you're giving an animal something that it doesn't naturally eat, can't naturally digest. Of course, it's going to break down into a carcinogen in its system and give it a tumor. You're changing this thing's natural food. If people all of a sudden start ingesting absolutely nothing but candy bars, a couple of years into that test, we're all going to have cancerous mammary tumors growing on our necks. You know, it's not our natural food, and therefore our bodies are going to react to it differently. And, you know, we're going to kind of stop talking about that because I'm starting to feel a little bit of a rage, and generally, there's nothing good comes of that. I mean, that can only end in tears. I have a screen booth here. I'm probably over the next commercial break going to be going into the screen booth. And just people are inherently, they have a tendency to let others make their decisions for them. They let the government make decisions for how they're going to live, pay their taxes, what's required of them, and how to be a better person. You don't need that. You don't need people telling you what you should eat. You have a brain. You have a mind of your own. Become educated and learn to start just thinking for yourself.
Yeah, do you
guys
want to live off Twinkies or live off actual food? Or
yeah.
I guess not Twinkies anymore, but you know what I mean.
Well, you know, Cloud Cakes, Hostess makes them. It's a Twinkie.
It's a Twinkie.
It tastes exactly the same as a Twinkie. That's another area for debate. Do we miss the Twinkie? No, we don't, because we have a Twinkie. It's called a Cloud Cake.
That's
you
Little
ate
Debbie,
one
right?
Last week because I gave you one,
yeah.
And you said, huh, it tastes just exactly like a Twinkie.
Exactly. Exactly.
We don't Little care. Debbie's, we yeah. don't care what happened to the Twinkie recipe. We're yeah. fine without it. We'll find another thing to obsess about. Let's obsess about not eating poison.
I like that. Not eating poison.
Not eating poison. Not eating things that are going to have us growing mammary tumors
Anything.
On our necks. Gross. Use your brain. That's all I'm saying. Use your brain. Coming up after the break, we are going to be talking about a little restaurant in San Diego's Golden Hill. And we have a food fight challenge coming up on Food Fight Radio, only on KCBQ.
For over 7 years, Modern Dentistry, the office of Dr. Amir Majavar and his friendly professional team members, have been providing quality and affordable care to San Diegans all over the county, specializing in state-of-the-art cosmetic and family dentistry, including children ages 3 and up, porcelain crowns, veneers and lumineers, Invisalign, teeth whitening, and metal-free restorations. Rest assured the care you'll receive will be with the utmost precision and quality, and provided in a caring, nurturing, and virtually pain-free environment. Having completed a residency in cosmetic dentistry and over 200 successful Invisalign cases, Dr. Majaver is highly trained to create a beautiful smile just for you. Their office is designed with comfortable chairs, ceiling-mounted TVs, and noise-canceling headphones. Call Modern Dentistry and see what a difference a healthy, beautiful smile can make in your life. Go to sdmoderndentistry.com or call 858-259-4765. 858-259-4765.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Hand-tossed with the freshest ingredients. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
You want to make more money? Own your own business? Find the perfect business for you at the Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo, January 26th and 27th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Discover full and part-time opportunities and talk directly with the owners of money-making franchises who can help you open a successful business. See the hottest new franchises and get valuable advice at free seminars all weekend. For more info, visit SanDiegoFranchiseExpo.com. Don't miss San Diego's largest Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo, January 26th and 27th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds.
Back to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz, the most knowledgeable food personality in all of the beautiful state of California, which is by far the best place in the world. Am I right?
Yes.
Any resident New Yorkers listening to the show? You know everyone in New York really secretly wishes that they lived here, right? They won't admit that any more than they'll admit super flat bendy pizza is lame. It is not a pizza style. It is pizza origami designed so you can all eat standing up on the subway. Unfold your pizza and sit down. Stop talking about how great it is to live in a dirty, smelly, congested city so full of so many rats that you can't even put down your pizza. Gross. California's better, and you know it. And now for something not totally lame. A gorgeous little kitchen that we reviewed recently in one of beautiful California's historic areas, Golden Hill. This is a story about the Big Kitchen Cafe. Big Kitchen Cafe is a little place with a lot of history. It's tucked away on Grape Street in Golden Hill inside a cute little neighborhood full of houses that were built a generation ago. The owner of Big Kitchen, known by all as Judy the Beauty, will greet you. That's right, Judy the Beauty will greet you with a big smile and practically hug you on the way in. You'll be ushered around a maze-like space with cozy seating and a great little outdoor patio that is guarded by a 3,000-pound statue of a goddess, which was made for Judy by one of her admirers. Once seated, you'll really notice the full walls of art and photos of celebrities. It turns out that Whoopi Goldberg here worked as a dishwasher long ago, giving you some idea that you are sitting in a piece of San Diego history. Built as a carriage house in 1932, it is a cool design with lots of little nooks to hide in for a cozy meal. Now, I walked in on a rare morning, people, and I was not in a serendipitous mood, so there was more of a chance of me running a 5K than giving a good review based on the rarity of the mood I was in. Wow, did Judy turn that around. They squeeze fresh orange juice just for you. Seriously, when you walk in, when you order orange juice, they squeeze fresh oranges for you. You can tell. Judy the Beauty is such a ray of light and the best person to get you out of a funk. Bombarded us with house-made fluffy coffee cake with butter melting into the top. The best biscuits and gravy I've ever had. Sautéed mushrooms and spinach over rice. A vegetarian side dish. Actually gave me hope for a meatless meal. And I hate vegetarian food. This dish was so tasty that I ate the entire thing, and I was getting really full really quick. One big pancake. It's on her menu. It's called One Big Pancake. It is so angelic. So melt in your mouth. It should come with its own set of wings. Drenching this thing with butter and syrup would be a crime. And here, you get dinner and a show. Normally, a group of super hungover Navy guys seated at the next table complaining about their gastro funk would not be an ideal accompaniment to a nice relaxing meal. But Judy gives them a house-made hangover remedy that she calls a pep-up drink, and then she serves it with an embarrassing lecture on drinking, loudly, right there in the middle of the cafe in front of all the other diners. It is hilarious. Try some Texas Gunslinger sauce. Hot sauce, which Judy orders from out of state just because it tastes the best with her cream cheese and bacon scramble. And where else in town can you order a ghetto burger without getting either beat up or laughed at? Have her Bubby's Recipe Chicken Soup, guaranteed to cure the sniffles, and the Jamie's Burger, which has ground bacon mixed right into the patty. By the time you leave, you actually start to believe that there is some kind of magic at the Big Kitchen Cafe, whether it's the warmth or the food or the inner beauty of Judy. We don't know for sure, but I'm going back for another dose real soon. And all of the wonderfulness of this great restaurant got me to thinking about another San Diego go-to breakfast joint that leads us straight into a food fight challenge. In the fight for San Diego's best pancake, we have in this corner Original Pancake House, open in Portland and with over 100 franchise locations coast to coast, weighing in at over 15 kinds of pancakes and featuring the giant skillet-sized German pancake, a go-to breakfast for hordes of pancake-loving fans and butter-loving masses hungry for the dreamy Tahitian maiden crepe with brandy and triple sec. This is no lightweight contender. This is the Original Pancake House. And in this corner, the Big Kitchen Cafe, owner and self-proclaimed feminist, Judy the Beauty, purveyor of all things tasty and righteous, with her one big pancake. Both have fresh, fluffy pancakes with unique different toppings, and both are delicious. Both arrive in big, hearty buttermilk stacks, and both will satisfy your griddle cake craving. But there can be only one. The clear winner for best pancake is... sorry, Big Breakfast Franchise. It's Big Kitchen Cafe. The one big pancake is so fluffy and angelic, it melts in your mouth, cozies up to your taste buds in a romantic kind of way. It actually needs no embellishment. It's almost a sin to drown out its singular deliciousness with the melted butter and real maple syrup they serve it with. Judy, you win the Food Fight Challenge today, and my loyalty, and you're in the running for another Food Fight Challenge coming up. The sauciest restaurant owner in town. Congratulations, Big Kitchen Cafe, and Judy, my new bubby. The light at the end of the tunnel may be you. Coming up after this next break, we'll be telling you about all the nasty, disgusting things in your supermarket that are crawling with creepies. Seriously, it's gross. Next on Food Fight Radio here on KCBQ.
When our kids started school,
I could see they needed an extra challenge. We tried the supplement at home, but we were exhausted and they were bored.
Then we discovered Renaissance Village Academy, located at 9988 Hybert Street in Scripps Ranch. RVA is a school for gifted, profoundly gifted, and or highly motivated students in kindergarten through eighth grade. The kids are so excited to go to school now, and they're definitely challenged.
Each week includes karate, drama, music, arts, education, gardening, training, and other valuable life skills.
So we're confident that they're being well prepared for success.
RVA is unlike any school you've ever seen. I'm so glad we found Renaissance Village Academy.
It's the school I wish I had gone to.
I know, right? Go to rva.us.com to find out more about how your child can rediscover the joy of learning. Renaissance Village Academy, personalized
and don't forget motivating
education for the gifted.
Go to rva.us.com.
You want to make more money? Own your own business? Find the perfect business for you at the Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo, January 26th and 27th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Discover full and part-time opportunities and talk directly with the owners of money-making franchises who can help you open a successful business. See the hottest new franchises and get valuable advice at free seminars all weekend. For more info, visit SanDiegoFranchiseExpo.com. Don't miss San Diego's largest Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo, January 26th and 27th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds.
Okay, gang, our dinner's here from Dine-In Tonight. Come on, let's go.
You know, I remember before there was Dine-In Tonight and people had to cook dinner for themselves.
What? Really? That's crazy. People don't have time for that.
Oh, Ma. Are you telling stories again?
I know, but back then, if you didn't cook for yourself, you had to have fast food.
That's so unhealthy.
And then all that changed when Dine-In Tonight opened. All you had to do was sign up online and they'd bring fresh, hot gourmet dinners right to your front door every night and for only $10 a dinner. And you didn't even have to choose. Everything was all done for you and the food was always different. And suddenly everyone's lives got so much easier.
Wow, Grandma. That must have been so awful to live like that.
Yes, my dears. Those were hard times. Those were hard times indeed.
Dine-In Tonight. Ready to eat dinners delivered to your home or office. Start simplifying your life one meal at a time. Call 1-888-64-MEALS. That's 1-888-64-MEALS.
Folks, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. If you've ever thought about how great it would be to own your own business and take control of your money and your future, then you'll want to go to the Franchise Expo next weekend in Del Mar. It's the 26th and 27th. I'll be there with our friends at Dine-In Tonight, of course, to help make them look good. What? You'll learn about dozens. Give me the stink face. What? I look good. I don't look like my age, right?
Right.
See, this is a man who knows who signs his checks. You'll learn about dozens of business concepts and what it takes to get started. It's easier than you'd think. Remember to come by and see me. I'll sign your hot dog. That could be fun. Okay. Now, would you be at all interested in knowing that the beef in your fast food burger has been blasted with ammonia gas?
I would be interested and disgusted, yes.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of pink slime?
Yes.
Yeah, and don't get angry, people, yet. You know, that's later. Pink slime. It's a pet name given to lean, finely textured meat. That's what they call it. Pink slime is what people call it. Once they saw an expo on the news about this stuff, people called it pink slime. They called it that because it looks like pink slime.
Because it is pink slime.
It is pink slime. It is made up of waste meat and pieces of floor-falling fat left over from processing higher quality cuts at the slaughterhouses. So they run this stuff through pipes and blast it with ammonia gas to kill all the salmonella and E. coli that's in it. And then, get this, they put it back into the ground beef.
Oh, delicious.
As a filler. So some of the ground beef you're paying $5 a pound for isn't really beef. It's this gas-treated slime.
Yay.
That's sick, right?
That's disgusting, yeah.
So then there's the addition of the antibiotics and veterinary drugs like deworming medicine that are given to the cows while they're still alive. That stuff makes its way into the meat, too.
I'm getting so hungry right now.
Right, for a burger.
For a burger, yeah.
Because it's generally in fast food burgers. They use absolutely disgusting, low-quality leftover, sick lymph nodes, salivary glands, ears, ear hairs, things like that. Those are the kind of things that wind up in fast food burger meat.
How do you think you get the dollar menu?
Exactly. Dollar menu. Don't order off the dollar menu, guys. Seems like a great bargain. It's disgusting. Fast food burgers are nasty. Pay a little more. treat yourself to a good quality grass-fed burger once in a while. The kind you get from a nice sit-down restaurant.
Yes.
It's a $10, $12 burger. It is worth it. If you're going to eat a burger, get a good burger, honestly. And there's the mercury in high fructose corn syrup, which they don't have in meat, but it's a segue. There's mercury in it, high fructose corn syrup. And therefore, everything that's made with it. Tests from the Institute of Agriculture and Trade Policy found it in instant oatmeal packets. They're flavored. They're pre-sweetened. They're made with high fructose corn sugar. We're just gonna call it HFCS.
HFCS.
HFCS. And if you say HFCO, I will hit you. I swear.
OFCS?
I am not kidding. HFCS. Don't be changing it on me. At levels three times higher in instant oatmeal packets than a grown woman should ever consume in a day. Three times level higher mercury.
So mercury is just not in fish anymore. It's in everything sweetened with high fructose corn syrup?
Yes. Everything that has HFCS in it.
HFCS.
Say it five times so you can say it without a hiccup.
HFCS.
Stop it. Do it in your free time. It's my time. It's my show. Get your own show. There's the mercury in it.
Wow.
There is mercury in it.
Now, what about the sodas? Because we all know sodas are riddled with HFCS.
Always has mercury in it.
Always has. So
you're eating mercury.
Mm.
You're eating mercury. It's an element. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a metal.
Yes.
You've seen mercury in the old fashioned thermometers, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's a metal. It's liquid at room temperature. It is a metal that is liquid at room temperature. That's funky.
That's, yeah.
That's alien.
That is.
That didn't come from this
jellyfish
planet.
Made that.
Yeah, that the alien the alien redneck jellyfish that talked to us. That stuff came in meteors, I swear. There is no way that stuff could possibly be manufactured by this planet. It had to have come down in meteors at some point, right? It had to have. It's liquid metal. That's not sci-fi. That's not limited to Terminator 2,
yeah.
You know, the liquid metal bad guy, the T-1000.
Yep, that's the T-1000. Uh-huh.
He was made out of liquid metal.
Yes.
Not even sci-fi. He turned into a puddle. We thought that was cool. Mercury. A puddle of mercury, people. You don't have to look any further than one of those old-fashioned, temperature, thermometers. Thermometers. You know, the kind that they used to put, you know,
mm-hmm.
They didn't use to take your temperature in your mouth, is
nope.
all I'm saying.
Nope.
Those kind of thermometers, liquid metal. Do you want to eat that? Do you
no.
want that stuff to be in your body, in your blood, forming in the plaque of your arteries, in the plaque of your brain?
Will it give me T-1000 powers?
I don't think so.
Man.
And hey, if you think it will, more power to you. But, I wouldn't want to eat that, right? It's easy to avoid these things. You just limit your packaged food.
Yes.
You don't drink soda. Drink something else.
Yeah, drink soda.
There's a million other things that you can drink. Water, flavored water, vitamin water. It's overpriced. It doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, try to avoid the ones made by Coke and Pepsi. Skip Dasani. It's tap water. We talked about that on a previous show. Filter your water at home. How hard is it? It's not that difficult. Put it in a glass. Put it in a cup. Drink a lot of it. Flavor it with, I don't know, fruit juice. Is that a complicated thing? You know, they have the little $5, $6 things where you put in a couple of drops of this artificial energy, you know, super red, super purple. You put that in your water and it's supposed to give you energy. It doesn't. It's supposed to flavor your water without any calories. Who cares? It's made out of chemicals.
Yeah.
You ever heard of fruit juice?
Yeah, fruit juice. Honey, lemon, boom, you're done.
Dump a little bit of that in your water. Hey, I just invented the new thing. We're going to bottle it and sell it for $5 a bottle. You know,
people will buy it.
People will buy it. People will buy it. Go home, drink some water, put some fruit juice in it. Unbelievable. It's simple. It's cheap. It's good for you. At least it's not bad for you.
Yeah.
And it's easy to avoid these things. People aren't sneaking these ingredients in. It's right there on the package. High fructose corn syrup. It's right there. You know what? Oatmeal, I think it's not supposed to taste good. So if it does, it raises an eyebrow. In my opinion.
I love oatmeal, but I throw fresh berries, honey in it, so that's different.
Okay, if you eat it without the fresh berries and the honey.
Oh yeah, it's gruel.
It's gruel.
It's gruel.
I'm not talking about the super tasty embellished stuff that you've made because you just proved my point.
Yeah.
Oatmeal does not taste good by itself. Okay, you're mixing it with water, right? Okay, you've got grains and you're mixing them with water. Do you think it's supposed to taste good? This is what people had before they figured out how to turn it into tasty bread. And then they, oh, this, the bread's better than this oatmeal. Oatmeal's disgusting. Oatmeal is gruel. You're right. It's horrifying. Why do you think people keep sweetening it? Okay, but you're sweetening it with things that aren't good for you. You're taking something that's good for you and you're turning it into something that's bad for you. Do yourself a favor. Don't eat it. Skip that part. Just skip that food. You know, if you're going to eat it, throw on some fresh berries. Do it Marcus's way. It makes the most sense. Put some raw honey on it. Put some berries on it. Something. You know, a little bit of pinch of salt. Some real maple syrup. Something that's going to give it some taste. Oatmeal is supposed to suck. That's what makes it healthy. And if it tastes good, there's something in it that's bad for you. I swear. Resistant levels of staph bacteria, thanks to overuse of antibiotics in the animals, are highest in supermarket turkey, pork, chicken, and beef. Basically all the meats, all the tasty stuff. You're like, oh, but I cook it to a proper temperature, you say. That's fine. Do that. Continue to do that. That's not the problem. The problem is improper handling and cross-contamination. You're going to get these bacterias all over your kitchen. You're going to get them all over you, your hands, your kids. You're going to kiss your kids with staph. Gross. Marcus is my resident know-it-all here on cross-contamination. Chef Marcus, take it away.
All right. So cross-contamination, it happens a lot more than you might think. When you're bringing things into your house, you're putting them away, you touch the handle on your refrigerator. When you're moving the chicken away, how often do you wash that? A lot of people reach and grab that. A lot of kids grab things, grab the handle. And with that, it gets the bacteria, the staph, all over everything else. So that's a big thing people miss all the time. Of course, everybody cleans their counters after putting their food away. Everybody cleans it after doing that. How about the knobs on your stove? How often do you do that? You grab something, you turn on the water, you grab something you know you shouldn't, you change the temperature, boom, that staph is on that knob waiting to grab a hold of you again to come back to life. Cross-contamination happens all over the kitchen.
And in ways you'd never expect.
Yes.
I mean, because you do things in the kitchen, you're in the kitchen a lot, so you do things very absentmindedly. You're washing the chicken, and then you touch the knob.
You touch the knob.
To turn off the water before you've washed your hands with scalding hot water and soap.
Mm-hmm.
So your knobs now have it.
Yeah.
And then whoever touches that knob next now has staph bacteria on their hands. And because there's so much of it in just about all samples taken of supermarket meat, cooking the meat to temperature, that's not the problem. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get the staph from the meat. You're cooking it off. You're killing it. It's the staph that's everywhere else now in your house. Dangerous. It's disgusting. It's foul. I know you don't want to get that on your family and on your kids. Everyone should pretty much simply order dinner from Dine In Tonight. Right, buddy?
Totally.
And, you know, Dine In Tonight, our friends, they have very strict kitchen practices on cross-contamination, but that's our kitchen. That's your kitchen. You know, you're like your home. That's your own place. I don't want people preparing food by themselves in my kitchen because I know they're going to touch something. Dine In Tonight uses their own kitchen. So who cares if they cross-contaminate something in their own kitchen? You know, it's a commercial facility. It's not in your home.
Exactly.
So you're going to get the food that's been cooked properly to temperature without any possible risk of cross-contamination. Plus, it's tastier, admit it, than you can make on your own. So you, and of course, there are some chefs out there. There are some foodies. There are some people who love to cook. Fine. Cook for yourself occasionally. Don't do it all the time. It's like any other job. If it's expected of you to be done every day, if it becomes a job, if it becomes a chore, you will not enjoy it. I don't. Marcus doesn't.
Absolutely true.
Yeah, and I know that because he's always complaining about it. Check out the website at www.dineintonight.com. That's Dine In, the number 2, NITE.com, or call 888-64-MEALS to sign up, and you'll get a full week of fresh gourmet dinners free when you use promotion code KCBQ. Also, when you sign up online, use promo code KCBQ. You can refer people, and you also get free meals. Am I right?
Yeah.
So the FDA says it's fine for containers of berries to have 60% of those containers can have some mold. The Colorado River used to irrigate some of our supermarket lettuce contains small amount of rocket fuel. BPA, which is a 70-year-old pregnancy drug linked to altered insulin levels and heart disease, still being used as a lining for canned vegetables and fruits. Sure, the FDA says canning companies are switching to non-BPA linings, and there's a whole horde of people marching, making phone calls, getting thousands of signatures, trying to get canning companies to start switching. But switch to what? new green rubber linings containing arsenic and leftover people.
Delicious.
Have you ever seen Soylent Green? I think I feel a rant coming on.
And now for your moment of clarification.
Folks, there's always going to be something to avoid and something you can't always prevent, you know, the undesirable, gross, and chemically questionable things from getting into your mouths and bodies, unless you're one of the three people that live in a bubble with no cell phone. But I swear, I'll do everything I can to keep you from losing it. But people, we have got to calm down. There's too much information, too many tests, too many reports being done by too many people who do not have your best interests in mind. Everyone has an agenda. Everyone. And it's either self-serving, misguided, or just plain backwards, ignorant, and wrong. You can't always avoid all the bad stuff, but you can always add a little good stuff, the stuff that keeps you happy and moving forward, like a good steak, your family, your dog, 2 days off, a staycation where you eat nothing but Hot Pockets and watch Xena tapes. Marcus, I am looking in your direction.
I totally have done that.
You gotta have a thing, because you'll never avoid all the bad stuff. You can just stay informed and smart and take it in stride, because at this rate, we're all going to be in the supermarket in disposable booties, pH testing every item after a 10-minute label analysis and detailed entry into our calorie-counting app before we record the steps to the cash register and drive our recycled hemp cloth bags home in our economy-sized chicken poop-powered 2013 Prius with the anti-bug splattering vegan-endorsed wind design. Also, we can cook our items to the right internal temperatures independently of the other items in separate pots to prevent cross-contamination. So your nephew, who thinks he's gluten intolerant and allergic to salt, so we can eat it on heat-sterilized, disposable, biodegradable, recycled mulch plates while sitting at least 3 feet from everybody so you don't catch their germs before kissing each other goodnight through full-body condoms and spraying your bedsheets with antimicrobials. This is the grim future, folks. You say killing germs with that desktop pump of sanitizer is the way to go? I say you're creating resistant superbugs that'll grow large enough to scare your pants off. I say live a little and lighten up a lot. So the next time someone offers you an unwrapped mint from a bowl that's been collecting sneezes on their desk for probably the past three straight years, take one. It's only polite. How do you think we got this far on this earth? It wasn't from avoiding all the germs. It was from eating them, digesting them, destroying them, and making them bow down and call us master. Tune in next week for our pre-Super Bowl show. We'll have a special call in from former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger to talk about his favorite Super Bowl snacks. Also, foods that are all hype and uses for leftover pickle juice. Lots of other great tips and other great forking food ideas all here on Food Fight Radio and only on KCBQ San Diego. This is Claire Katz reminding you to stay the course and, folks, play with your food.
Have you heard the news? Bad things come in twos.
Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Fran Vest International, Inc.